You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Good morning to you.
Couple done this before, so you come on in. Make yourself at my home, tell me where you've been. Pour yourself something cold, baby, cheers to this. Sometimes you gotta stay in, and you know where I live. Yeah, you know what we is. Sometimes you gotta stay in. Welcome to my house.
Good Tuesday morning to you, and I have to tell you, it's always a better day when I'm doing post-traumatic winning. Yeah, it's like a drug for me now. So headed out to 29 Palms to link up with the 25th Marines who are out there doing some work, and I think I'll spend the evening with 3rd Battalion, 25th Marines. So, fired up about it. And, yeah, it's interesting. I can feel it when I'm going to go do it. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing. The it starts when I sit down and look at the script. And any notes that I put in into the script last time, I take a look at. So the way post-traumatic winning, the presentation, works from my end is that, as the more I do this, things kind of, whether they pop into my head or whatnot, they get into the presentation somehow. And then when I come home, I like to, after the thing's over, right, I hang out for a bit. And then after that, there's I don't know what I would call it, quiet time or, time where you're just kind of hanging out and doing nothing. And this thing's in your head. And so for me, I like that. Things that people say afterwards, whether it resonated or did not, things I saw during the presentation, comments people made to me. So all of that. So it starts there's about a 19 page script that goes with it. Yeah. How about that? Hold on. I'll count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 16 page script. And there'd be a 17th page in there. And there's a couple of them are kind of placards. So probably about 14 pages of, and what it is, what I did is I took a PowerPoint and I made it into a grid, right? Three boxes across the top, three boxes in the middle, three boxes across the bottom. And then I put a picture of the slide and then the bullets that go with it underneath. So that's how I do the script. And so I tried to do other formats, but kind of didn't work very well for me. Like every one of them's too rigid for me. And so this is the one that I've developed and kind of stuck with. I thought there would be like a more user-friendly, you know, way to do it in Word. But I've yet to find that. So, PowerPoint allows me to put text boxes under slides, create a grid system, and that's what I do. That's what I do. And then the presentation, the way the presentation works is, you know, there's audio, video, and video throughout. So, you know, I have the binder open on a podium. And what I've learned to do is, because it is a long presentation, it's a couple hours, and they throw in a couple breaks in there, so there's about 2 hours and 20 minutes. Whoever's introducing it and closing it, they're going to talk between 10 and 15 minutes. So that's, you get to 2 hours and 35 minutes right there after the breaks and they speak. If they speak a little longer, like General Furness likes to do, it's going to be 2 hours and 45 minutes. So, but my part normally is about 2 hours. So, that's not a small amount of material. So anyway, but when the different videos and the audio are playing, I go back to the script while that stuff's playing, and I make sure that I go through the script and like look at the things that I've highlighted and stuff like that, because this presentation is not about general knowledge. There are very specific pieces of information that need to be drilled when certain slides come up. So it's like you're not shooting a target with a area weapon. I do have much of it memorized, but every time I do it, I make sure I sit down and go through the script and then make sure that I drill those nuanced things that I've learned every time I've done this. And make sure that I include them in the presentation. So, because you never know what resonates with somebody. To that end, I had a Marine call me last night and tell me he was struggling. It's such a good feeling when people reach out and you could sit and talk with them and you could say, look, it's never not going to suck. Okay. What's going to change is the way you react to when it sucks. And that's what we're doing here. And so hopefully that's what resonates with people when they leave, is that they can do it, that it doesn't make it hurt less. It simply acknowledges what's real, what's true, and tells you that you can get through it. You can get to a greater place, but you got to work at it, and you got to learn about it, and then you have to develop. Honestly, no kidding. Probably the hardest thing to do is when you go through those, you know, repeated experiences, developing the wellness practices and then the discipline to execute. Right? Oh my God, I feel the same way. Okay, stop. Take a breath. What am I supposed to do? I'm not going to go to the liquor cabinet. I'm going to go for a run. And you know, your spouse looks at you and says, what are you doing? And you say, I got to go for a run. I got to clear my head. Every time I start to feel like this, I got to go run. All right. Gives you a kiss and you go for a run. And, I should probably record something that people can play. if you're listening to this, then this is where you're at. And this is what I want you to focus on. I should probably record something like that. I just wrote myself a note on my calendar. Record. What would I call it? How you do it? Do this, not that. Yeah, so anyway. So it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool when that happens, and because it's the beginning of their modifying their behavior. Some place it used to, like an event that used to send them spinning and off the road. Now, right? Now, hopefully, their life isn't going off the road anymore. They've now, the first thing they've done is they've reached out to somebody, right? And they know they're supposed to. And so, I mean, I don't even know how to put it into words how cool that is to have that happen on a regular basis. And then, you know, wherever this happens, I've met people. So you can pick up the phone and say, hey, man, can you help? And they're, you know, the answer is always, hell yes, I can help. And so, the whole post-traumatic winning thing is, you know, here in the second show of the fourth year, which sounds so funny to me to say, honestly, it's the coolest thing going. I got an email from the wife of the chief of naval operations yesterday. That would be, for those of you who don't know, that is the commandant of the Navy. Okay, they don't call him the commandant, though. They call him the chief of naval operations. She saw the presentation that I did at the Pentagon and said, would you be interested in coming back and doing it again? Here in the D.C. area, I said I would absolutely be interested in that. So, doors continued open for it, and I continue, you know, I've got to finish writing the book that I'm writing. And then I think the other thing, if you're a distance learning person, I'd be, send me an email, and you listen to this, but I need to do something that I can leave as kind of a, how do I say it? So you would attend the brief, right? And then this would be maybe, I don't know, 20 different leadership discussions relative to post-traumatic winning. And you would break it out, right? So, well, I mean, it wouldn't need to be, it would be the whole presentation done is 2 hours. Maybe a little bit longer, but 2 hours. And so that's 8 installments of 15 minutes apiece. So, and then, you watch 15 minutes of it. And, you watch 15 minutes of it, and then you sit down and you have a guided discussion about that. And then at the end, there's maybe a couple minutes of, hey, now that you've had that discussion, let me give you some of my final thoughts about this. And that way it can sustain itself. And because one of the things that is an issue that people ask me about is scalability. Okay, how do we do this? How do we scale it to the force? And I don't, it's hard when then people that they're going to see do it, I mean, they don't have the experience. They don't have the passion. It's just another crappy, you know, period of instruction that I get up and walk out of. And I'm not moved by it. So anyway, post-traumatic winning. Yeah, no, it's honestly, it's the coolest of the cool, man. I am not going to lie to you one bit. It is cool to do and looking forward again to doing it tonight. I'll be back out in 29 Palms in a week. Let's see, where's the world tour take me? Then I go to Yuma after that. I think I have a couple weeks off. And then after the 4th of July, I'll be down at Camp Pendleton, 3 times, I think. And then after that, I go to MCRD in San Diego. and do it there, and then back to Pendleton, and then D.C. So, the dance card is filling up, but I still post-medic winning for whatever reason, probably because it's new, probably because it makes people nervous, because you're going to say that what people are doing now is fucked up, or they're fucked up, or whatever, and I don't say that. I think the mental health people are trying as hard as they can, but I know there's trepidation there when somebody's going to come in and call your baby ugly or throw your shit in the street. I mean, who wants that? And the answer to that is nobody wants that. So I don't know. Maybe there's some trepidity in that. Some hesitation to bring somebody in who we think might do that, and just the way things tend to go. So anywho, the only thing you can do is keep doing it, right? You keep doing it and at some point, something good, really good happens. And that is the ability to take it to a broader audience. So, anyway, I have to remind myself that I've only been doing this for 5 months and a week. And honestly, I've only been doing it for less than 5 months. I think the 5-month anniversary comes up on what, next week? Next week. So, anyway, so good morning to you. We're going to check the news, and then you're going to hear an interview that I did with a young Afghan student. I saw the story in Air Force Times over the Memorial Day weekend. And the story has to do with wishing he could say thank you to all the people who fought for him and in his country that have opened a world to him that would have never been opened for him had that not happened. And he says thank you, and he says, I wish that I could talk to every one of you out there to personally thank you for the way you've changed my life, and it would have never happened without you. And so, I mean, honestly, I mean, when I read the article, I mean, I got choked up. I mean, it's just, you don't hear that very often. You know, people can say thank you for your service, and that's wonderful and nice. But when somebody who lives there goes out of their way like that young man did, it's pretty cool. Pretty cool. So in the article was his email address. So I emailed him. And then I email him and he answers me, and I said, I'd love to have you come on Allmern Radio and tell your story. And it's a story of being born when the Taliban were in power in Afghanistan and music was outlawed. And you'll hear him talk about his father teaching him music in their home. So anyway, all that, and then you'll hear about his life now. He just graduated, finished his undergrad work, and now he'll go back to he's going to start his master's work, and you'll hear about that. So he's just a nice young kid, you know, who's studying in the United States, studying music, and hopes to go back and take music back to Afghanistan and give other people that are in his shoes the opportunity that he's had, and then hopefully uses music to change people, to include veterans. So anyway, you'll hear from Ilham Fanous today in a very cool interview. So you'll hear that. So on this 4th day of June, on a day that we fire up post-traumatic winning out in 29 Palms for the second time, in a month, did it for the RCT 7 Sergeant's course, and went out there And that was, talk about another great experience. You know, just the young sergeants in there, and it was good. It was good stuff. So, good morning to you. Thanks for listening here as we begin our fourth year. The United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. This is dedicated to Ilan Fanous, who, just by the very act of saying thank you, I think made my day last week, and I'm sure made the day, he talked about the email he's received, made the day of a lot of other veterans who have never heard anybody say thank you like that, and have spent many of them years of their life in Afghanistan fighting, in a war that that has dragged on and on and on and on and on. So this is dedicated to him.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the core, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Time to check the weather here on a Tuesday morning. Sunny at 71 in Quantico. First time it's been sunny in Quantico in a while. Cooled off a little bit south. Partly cloudy in 78 at Camp Lejeune. Marine Corps Base 29 Palms, where I will be tonight out at Camp Wilson. Never thought I'd go back there again. Yeah, dining facility at Camp Wilson. Sunny and 82 right now at Camp Pendleton. Oh, my God. You know how music plays in the background, right? I'm watching the Yankee Red Sox game on the MLB channel. Because I missed part of it, and they were playing a rerun of it, so I started watching it. And this is what they had, whatever idiot sound engineer was there. I mean, they had the crowd noise up so high, it was trying to listen like this. And so then I was doing the weather, and you couldn't hear the guys talking for the crowd noise. And it pissed me off. So I'm sitting there trying to watch the game, and it's pissing me off watching it, because the stupid ass sound engineer has the crowd noise up so high, and I'm like, what an idiot, man. Anyway, I don't know how I got there. Anyway, Camp Pendleton, clouds in 62 right now. In the Al Anbar province of Iraq, it is 106 degrees right now, late in the day, and under sunny skies, as you may have guessed. So they've got that going for them. Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped over Camp Smith. Dark, cloudy, and 76 in Hawaii. It is in Okinawa. It is dark, cloudy, and 76. Boom! Same weather. Never happened before. 106 late in the day under sunny skies in Al Anbar, and the Helmand province of Afghanistan. Clear and 87 degrees in the vicinity of Lashkar Gah. at the home of All Marine Radio, Costa Mesa, Newport Beach area, Southern California, 61 degrees under cloudy skies in what continues to be dreary, dreary June gloom, as it's known, but it's been going on for about a month. So, looking for partly cloudy skies and 71 today, clouds and 72 tomorrow, and the same thing on Thursday. So, if you're planning a vacation, yeah, bring a sweater. Yeah, it's not warm yet. What the hell? So, we shall take a break. When we come back, we'll check some stories, right? There's a whole bunch of, like, clickbait stories that are kind of interesting. The big story today is the lead Navy prosecutor in the Chief Gallagher trial has been removed from the trial in an effort to save that trial and allow it to go to proceedings. So you can already see the built-in appeal, right?
Right.
So it's not about now, it's not about what he did anymore. It's about prosecutorial misconduct. You know, and again, this is the, you know, just like the Bryce Benson, you know, USS Fitzgerald collision, right? It's not about what went on the ship anymore. It's about the stupid stuff that people said, right? Flag officers of the United States Navy said afterwards that have screwed up the ability of the Navy to conduct this case. So, again, it's just stupid. Stupid, stupid, stupid. Speaking of stupid, speaking of stupid, I mean, Duncan Hunter. Why is he on my radar again? So somebody sent me a link. I have to check it out. They say, Mac, look, Duncan Hunter, man, he needs to shut his app. I've heard the audio that you played about, if you've never heard this, this is Duncan Hunter after he's been indicted for campaign finance, you know, by law violations, right? So he makes, what, $200,000+ as a, well, I shouldn't, let me check that, right? Pay House of Representatives. How much are those guys? $174,000. So he tries to make ends meet on $174,000. I know it's not easy. I know it's not easy. He's got kids and a wife. Now his wife, let's see, campaign manager. That person gets paid too. Guess how much? That person gets paid $55,000. The average salary of a campaign manager is $55,000. And that gets paid for by the campaign. So, guess who's his campaign? Finance chief. That's right. His wife. Oh, so that number now goes to $225,000. Okay, so, but we all know it's not easy, you know, being poor on $225,000 isn't easy, but you can do it. And Duncan Hunter had this to say about that.
There's nothing illegal about being poor. Okay? I don't think there's anything illegal about not having money in your bank account.
He got asked about all the bounced checks they had in their account when he makes almost $250,000, all right? And that was his response.
There's nothing illegal about being poor, okay? I don't think there's anything illegal about not having money in your bank account.
Okay, look, I don't know what Duncan Hunter defines as poor. Now, we probably could have a fairly interesting discussion about that, okay? But I think I can tell you this unequivocally. When you're pushing 200, and that's no other sources of income, okay, whether they be from investments or houses he owns that he rents to other people or anything like that. So he's at $225,000, and that's his definition of poor. So just when you think you've heard every stupid thing you could hear, somebody goes ahead and breaks the record. But, so he's no stranger to stupid, Duncan Hunter. Okay. Even though he's an elected official and is a Marine officer, right? And fought valiantly, I'm sure. And I know at least in Iraq, if I'm not mistaken. But come on, man. Now I'm getting messages about, have you heard what he said? That even if Gallagher is guilty, did everything that he's alleged to do, he still shouldn't be convicted. What? So we don't have to be the good guys anymore. Everything he's alleged to have shot an elderly man who did not pose a threat. He allegedly has shot females who were not targets and then stabbed somebody, a teenager who was an ISIS fighter who was being given first aid by a corpsman, stabbed him and killed him. And Duncan Hunter says, nothing to see here, nothing wrong with this. Yeah, bro, I'm going to give you some advice, right? Don't be afraid to shut up, right? You don't have to answer all those questions. Maybe I haven't seen all the evidence, you know, maybe, you know. But, you know, what's these things come down to is that, you know, I'm going to paint myself as this kind of man of the people, us against the machine, we're all victims. And then he would roll himself into that. He's being victimized by this prosecution of dipping into his campaign money that people pledged for his reelection for his personal use, for his kids' orthodontist appointments, for his kids' private schooling. That's against the law. That's against the law. And then you have the balls to call yourself poor when you're making $250,000? Kind of an insult to everybody, right? Kind of an arrogant insult to everybody. So I don't know Duncan Hunter, you know. And, you know, my bias is normally to, especially with Marines, to skew on the side of, hey, man, he's part of the club. But I don't do arrogance well. And to me, that's what he seems to be. So I'll have to check this other stuff out and see if it's fit for consumption. So anyway, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll check news headlines. As we head to the top of the hour, you'll hear Ilan Fanous, an Afghan teenager, right? An Afghan teenager who wrote a thank you note to American service members who fought in this country because of what they did to change his life. So you'll hear from him. More Ball Marine Radio coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
So Colleen and I run some errands yesterday. We go to Home Depot. And as I continue to build my monstrosity. Right. And then, so she has a friend come to pick her up. We go get the truck washed. And vacuum. Because that has to be done. And then we come back. And she's got a friend coming over to pick her up. I'm going to go get some meat with her friend. Okay, no problem. So 2.5 hours later, I hear crickets, right? Now, I don't know how you react to that kind of shit, but I don't react to it very well. Why am I chasing you? Why am I chasing you to find out where the hell you are? Okay, now, the next sentence should be, get your ass home right now. But, Colleen's a perceptive woman. I did not even have to say the second part of that. Yeah. I'll be home in a few minutes. That was the appropriate answer. Well done, Colleen. So then she walks in the door, and I say, are we just stupid now? Like, what happened? Okay, if you want to see me become, like, not me guy, that guy, do that kind of shit and see what happens. What do modern parents do? Do they talk about choices? Okay, now you made a choice, and now we're going to put you in timeout. You're going to have to give me your phone for 20 minutes, and then you can have it back. No wonder kids are idiots, man. Anyhow, I don't play that game. All right, headlines. A shark attacked a Marine vet's daughter. He punched it in the face till it stopped. Well, riddle me this, Batman. What else are you going to do? A Marine veteran saved his daughter from a life-threatening shark attack in North Carolina by punching the shark 5 times on the nose until it released a 17-year-old girl from its deadly grip, according to local reports. Paige Winters had deep lacerations and bites in her leg, pelvis, and hands when admitted to Vedant Medical Center in Greenville just after 12:20 p.m. After an attack at Fort Macon Beach, the hospital reported. Paige lost several fingers, and her left leg had to be amputated above the knee, but her injuries could have been fatal if not for her father. Wow. Her family expressed their appreciation for the first responders, individuals on the beach who helped after her heroic father saved her life, the family said in a statement. Shortly after the incident, a GoFundMe page was set up, and then the last name is Paige, P-A-I-G-E, to support her long road to recovery. Charlie, Paige's father, a Marine, a firefighter, and paramedic, had served this country and his community for the last 20 years. Now it's time for us to rally around him and his family to help them get through their time of need. The GoFundMe page has already raised $10,000 in 17 hours. The daughter called on people to continue to respect sharks and their environment and their safety. Quote, this is from the family. Paige is out of surgery and awake, her mother Marcy said. She's still pretty groggy, but cracking jokes. She wants everyone to know that sharks are still good people. Yeah. Okay, so, Paige Winters. I gotta see if we can track down Charlie. That's her name. You can find them on GoFundMe. And, Well, she'd be dead if it wasn't for her dad's fast thinking. But you don't have any other choice, right? No other choice. Anyway, another story. Marine runs 161 miles across Wyoming to honor fallen service women. The Rawlins Times from Rawlins, Wyoming reports Marine Pamela Torres is expected to end the run of 161 miles in Rawlins on Tuesday, a week after beginning the journey in Cheyenne. She trained for a year before starting the Valor Run. Good on her. Here's a picture of Master Sergeant Torres. Master Sergeant Pamela Torres. Good for her. She says the elevation and the weather have been challenging, but running through the wide open landscape have been enjoyable. The towns are planning of Sinclair and Rawlings are planning celebrations when she reaches their communities today. So that going on up in Wyoming. The lead Navy prosecutor in the SEAL war crimes case has been removed over email spy. And again, I talked about this before, so I'm not going to beat this up too much, but the Navy desperately trying to save this case. Right? You can see certainly the basis for an appeal. Right? There's been motions to dismiss this case based on prosecutorial misconduct. And they will form certainly the basis of the appeal. So, awesome. Well done, once again. Navy Commander Christopher Zaplach was ordered off the case against Chief Edward Gallagher by the judge, Navy Captain Aaron Ruge, R-U-G-H. Yesterday, after Zaplach admitted emailing 13 defense attorneys and paralegals, as well as Navy Times editor Carl Prine, a tracking beacon in an effort to find the sources of leaks to the media. The defense attorneys have asked the judge to dismiss the charges against Gallagher or remove prosecutors because of the surreptitious effort to track defense emails without court approval. Brian O'Rourke, a spokesman for Navy Region Southwest, confirmed in an email to Navy Times Monday evening that Zaplach was removed from the case. The name spelled C-Z-A-P-L-A-K. The Navy is complying with the judge's order, according to the spokesman. Now, in spite of Chief Gallagher threatening witnesses, because of this, he was removed from pretrial confinement. In a court hearing last month, Zaplach said the code embedded in the emails recorded nothing more than where and when messages were opened by recipients. It was part of an NCIS investigation into unauthorized leaks to the media. Zaplach said the tracking ended May 10th after he was confronted by defense lawyers who discovered the code secretly embedded in an unusual logo of an American flag with a bald eagle perched on the scales of justice beneath Zaplach's signature. In court, Zaplach said the code was similar to what marketers use to see when an email is opened and on what device. Zaplach did not immediately return emails seeking comment. Shortly after testimony wrapped up in the pretrial portion of the case, U.S. Attorney's Office in San Diego forwarded a letter to Ruge, which is the judge, the military judge, alerting the judge that the Department of Justice had little input into the affair and didn't realize that NCIS and the prosecution team had kicked it off with a flurry of emails to defense attorneys and the Navy Times that were embedded with a tracking beacon. Allegedly designed to help ferret out leaks, critics argued the tracking beacon could be used to unlawfully surveil defense teams and reporters. Last week, officials announced that the Marine Corps had withdrawn Captain Connor McMahon, an assistant prosecutor, from the case. The ruling did not address the fate of the third prosecutor, Navy Lieutenant Brian John. Now, if it's a Marine Corps captain and Navy Lieutenant, these guys are young lawyers. These guys go into the military as these lawyers. They go into the military as captains. So anyway, Navy struggles. All right, next story. This is a story that we've been following for months, and that is the lack of congressional action on military construction after the hurricanes and tornadoes of last year. Headline, Congress sends Trump disaster bill with aid to storm-struck military bases. All right, the bill allowed the Air Force a total of $1.67 billion, and that's for Tyndall and Offutt Air Force bases, Tyndall in Florida, Offutt in Nebraska, and then it gave the Navy $1 billion for Camp Lejeune and Marine Corps Air Station Cherry Point, both in North Carolina. Now, again, that money had been crushed. I mean, it hadn't come, and the Marine Corps was, as it will do, it says, all right, boys and girls, right? This is it's not an option for us not to pay these things and not to do these things, so stand by. And started impacting operational stuff to the point where units that were scheduled to go to 29th Palms to do exercises did not go. Did not go from the East Coast. So I don't know that I've ever seen that happen for simply I'm sure it probably has happened in the past, but so good news for the Marine Corps and for the Air Force as they try to rebuild active duty installations. So that were damaged not a little bit, but a lot. Top five stories in Early Bird today, Military Times, with contributions from a whole bunch of people, guys who normally write Marine Corps Times, Todd South, Sean Snow, are regulars with Marine Corps Times. But headline, what war with Iran could look like. Let's see. Late at night, somewhere not far from the coast of Iran, U.S. sailors sleep aboard a ship when suddenly a dull thud reverberates through the hull and shocks them awake. An Iranian mini-submarine, or possibly a drone, has wound its way through the layers of defenses, struck the side of the ship and water flooding it. In the hours following the incident, Iranian leaders say it wasn't an intentional attack. Some of their Navy personnel went rogue. U.S. strikes on key missile defense positions along the Iranian coast are already underway. Let's see. What else? Those strikes signal salvos from a country away, armed and ready to hit U.S. troops at short notice. Near dawn, a dusty outpost along the Syrian-Iraq border, a handful of U.S. Marines, soldiers, and special operation forces are awakened to a barrage of rockets and mortar fire like they've never seen on this or any other recent deployment. So far, a full-scale conflict between the United States and its allies in Iran and its proxies remains in the realm of wargaming at the moment. But the tension's rising. Blah, 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 blah. There's a pretty interesting little map in there that shows weapons and where they can reach. That's interesting. And then it kind of speculates about how the conflict would go. They wrote a second article that appears today. What's the end game in an armed conflict with Iran? To me, the end game is regime change. First paragraph. Digging deeper into the current tensions, a number of experts interviewed by Military Times noted that the likelihood of a war with Iran is small, but current buildup only stalls real change in long-term regional balance and security. Vanifesh Kanush is an international geopolitical consultant and the author of Saudi Arabia and Iran, Friends or Foes. What is that? Trick question. He told Military Times that Iran's government seeks to ensure its survival and find political stability as tensions rise with the United States. Quote, Iran shapes its regional foreign policy partly in reaction to what the U.S. does. That doesn't mean that Iran is always reactionary, she said. It resorts to a series of practical and ideologically driven strategies to react to U.S. policy. The United States struggles with a middle ground on Iran, she said, where it needs to be. Lacking a nuanced understanding of the Iranian government, U.S. leadership either idealizes engagement, as happened under Barack Obama, or cornering Iran, as it's now doing under Trump, she said. Quote, there's always channels of communication open to the U.S. and Iran to avert a miscalculated war. If war between the two erupts, it will more likely not be due to a miscalculation, but the result of a calculated series of events and the misreading of some of those events. Anyway, so... So what should the American policy be? What should it be? Should it be a longer-term, more balanced approach to continuing sanctions and knowing that at some point, right, at some point the Iranian people will say, you know what, go away with this shit, okay? Go away with this shit, right? We did that with the, Soviet Union, right? We coexisted with the Soviet Union. And at some point, between the unhappiness of the Soviet Union and of the people and really the economic decline, because it could simply not meet the challenge economically of competing with the United States. So Putin dances that dance again, trying to puff out his chest, be a big tough guy, but his economy is the size of Canada. That's a trick, all right? That's a bit of Houdini that is impressive. And he pulls it off, Dr. Evil. Next headline. A more accurate, completely digital DD-214 is on the way. What? The days of having to keep a tidy copy of your discharge paperwork to prove you were in the service could be coming to an end. The DOD is working on creating a fully electronic version of the DD-214 document, which could give veterans access to all of their information, cut down on the privacy concerns raised by the current form. The goal is to bring the new forms online by 2024 at the latest. So, there you have it. There you have it. DD-214 goes electronic sometime in the next 6 years. 5 years. Listen to this story. And these are the top five stories in Early Bird. Chinese warship causes surprise in Sydney Harbor. What? Yeah. What? Like, what, it just drove into Sydney Harbor unannounced? Australians enjoying a sunny winter morning, were surprised by the sight of three Chinese warships steaming into the Sydney Harbor on Monday, forcing the Prime Minister to reassure jittery residents. Amid heightened concerns about Beijing's growing clout and military muscle flexing, the appearance of a Chinese-flagged task group and around 700 sailors came as a surprise. It may have been a surprise to others, but it certainly wasn't a surprise to the government, said Prime Minister Scott Morrison, trying to dampen concerns. Quote, we have known about that for some time, he said of the visit during a trip to the Solomon Islands. Guadalcanal and the Solomon Islands. Morrison described it as a reciprocal visit because Australian naval vessels have visited China. They were returning after a counter-drug trafficking operation in the Middle East. The vessels appeared to be Kunian Shan, a Yunza-class landing ship, the Luomi Lake replenishment ship, and the Zhishang, a modern frigate that is believed to be fitted with surface-to-air and anti-submarine missile systems. The timing of their visit was also questioned. It comes on the eve of the 30th anniversary of the violent suppression of Tiananmen Square. When the regime gunned down hundreds of its own citizens and jailed thousands for demanding political change and an end to state corruption. The sailing also comes just days after it was revealed that a Chinese warship had recently confronted an Australian vessel in the South China Sea, and Australian helicopter pilots had been targeted with lasers. Quote, I think any reading into timing could be subject to a bit of overanalysis, said the Prime Minister. Anyway, so yeah, the Chinese, if you haven't noticed, they're like, Tiananmen Square, what are you talking about? What? What do you mean? What is, like, we don't even know what, we don't, even know what Tiananmen Square, like what, those anti-government protests by those lawless, violent protesters that was put down by our responsible military, our heroic, responsible military. Oh, those? Is that what you're talking about? No, I'm not talking about that. Because that never existed. It's the Emperor's New Clothes with the Chinese. It's just a different installment of the Emperor's New Clothes. All right. When we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll go ahead and you'll hear Ilham Fanous. And don't touch that dial, trust me. He's a wonderful young guy and with a great message to veterans who fought in his country. So more of All Marine Radio coming up next on this post-traumatic winning Tuesday when we head out to 29 Palms. Email Mac, will you be back tomorrow to do the show? Of course I will. Come on, man. Semper Fidelis, always faithful. Plus, I got to come back. Jack and Joe are gonna ruin. They're gonna ruin the house if I don't come back. So, practical things. All right, don't touch that dial. More in our fourth year. Yeah, how about that? Of All Marine Radio, coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.